We like to win because you put it in our heart to win. For you said, Lord, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in you.
Amen.
So we can win over every attack of the enemy in our lives. We can win and overcome every obstacle we face because you created us to be world overcomers.
Yeah.
So those that are in need, we join our faith with them and help them overcome as well. So we gather together, Father, to receive from you. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you would, open your Bible. And before you go there, just have it open. But we would like to continue our teaching on your believing the master key. Say, your believing.
Your believing.
So I'm talking about your individual belief, what you choose to believe, what you've adapted, what you've embraced to believe personally about God, about what God said about you, what God promised you. We're talking about in context about what you believe about God and what he has in store for your life. I'm not talking about you believe in, you know, whatever, which could be nice. We're talking about kingdom, godly kind of thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
But today we are going to examine the oldest book of the Bible to help answer the age-old question, why bad things happen to good people. Why bad things happen to good people. That's a tough one because good people sometimes suffer. Sometimes bad things happen to them. And we're going to examine this book, the oldest book in the Bible, to gain some insight because God reveals who he is in this book. Also, there's a clear discussion, if you would, and a lot of it, about the person of this book, that the struggle and the tragedy they experienced in their life, and how that tragedy put them in place of bitterness, or they ended up in a place of bitterness. But they somehow got adjustment in what they believe and how they saw God. They began to see God properly, differently than how they used to believe and see God. And therefore, that allowed them to go from tragedy, they were in bitterness, and now excel to having much more, being more blessed than ever before in their life.
Amen.
And that's the purpose of God. He wants to bring us out. Say, bring us out.
Bring us out.
Of a difficult situation. So we're not here to blame, not here to make anybody feel bad if you've gone through a very tragic, difficult situation. Things like that do happen in life. But we want to provide some insight, some biblical perspective, so we can know how to deal with it if it does happen, and best case is avoid it. Say avoid it.
Avoid it.
Answering this question from the biblical perspective is key to guiding what we choose to believe about God and how he protects us. Because sometimes people have developed an idea that God is a source of the problems. This person we're going to talk about felt that way. I mean, I've been a good person. Why is this stuff, kind of stuff happening to me? I'm doing good, going to church, reading my Bible, treating people properly, giving to the church. I'm doing all the right things. Now all these problems arise in my life. And so sometimes they develop, the only person I can look to, it must be you, God. But the Bible speaks and gives insight to let us know that is not the case. God is not the source of your problems.
Amen.
Now what we believe about the trouble that comes into our lives is key to how we experience life. And Jesus came to give us the abundant life. In the Greek, it's called Zoe, where we get our name Zoe. It means the abundant or God kind of life. But it's dependent upon how we believe, what we believe about God. Is he sometimes our friend, sometimes our enemy? That's a problem.
Amen.
But some people do that. They say, well, you know, there's some things about God that you don't understand. Well, yeah, I'm sure. But what he has revealed, we can understand that. And our responsibility to understand what he has revealed, and that is sufficient to help us live effective, more productive, and fruitful, and victorious life in the earth. But it comes down again, what we really believe. Say believe.
Believe.
It's about what we believe. So the story of Job is an account of how tragedy can go from bitterness to a life that is more blessed than our beginning. It's about what we believe. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to take the next several weeks to unpack this and go beyond what I normally would do with a series in 1 month ended, but I'm going to continue on because I really want to unpack this for us. I'm realizing it's a very important topic. I'm getting feedback from people that said, Pastor's right on time. I really need to hear this. And just as a pastor for 28 years, I understand that this is a need in people's lives from time to time. Or to help a friend. Maybe you don't need it right now. You want to help a friend that's in a bad place. They were serving God. They were excited about God. Now, maybe at the very least, they're just kind of like stuck in a place. They may still believe God, but they're stuck. Say stuck.
Stuck.
And so we don't want to be people to be stuck. We don't want our loved ones to be stuck. And this can help them get unstuck and begin to walk with God, would have them to live. Here in Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz, but Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one that feared God and shunned evil. So here's a man, now this is important because he was a good guy. He was upright. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't sinning. He was married, so he wasn't cheating on his wife. He was a good person, the kind of person you would like to be around, complimentary, encouraging, preferring one another, giver, just a good guy. But he was righteous. He honored God. He loved God. Are you following me? But also keep it in context as we go through the study here, in that this is the first and the oldest book in the Bible, older than Genesis, because, in fact, Job is in Scripture reveals who he is, that he is the son of Issachar, who is the son of Jacob. And so Moses came after that. So Moses had not been writing all those books like Genesis and others until he came on the scene. But this happened before him. This is important because God took time with Job to reveal himself in a very powerful way. Amen. And here's a man that what he knew about God was very limited, but what he knew about God, he responded accordingly to God when his life took a turn for the worse. And so sometimes our limited knowledge of God hinders us, and therefore Satan takes advantage of us in our lives. But the good news is we can overcome. Say overcome.
Overcome.
Say overcome.
Overcome.
Say it like you really mean it. I believe you got it now. Verse 2. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Now, the passage goes on further in that chapter and talks about how he had 7 sons, 3 daughters, total of 10. And he was very rich. In fact, it estimates his wealth was probably around $790,000. That's close to $1 million. And back in those days, that's back in those days. Wow. $1 million can go spend and do a lot with you now. If you manage it properly, you can retire on that. If you manage it properly. Can you imagine he had that then? So he was a wealthy man, prosperous man, God blessed him, good man. And he had 10 kids. He gave each of his boys, 7 boys, a house. And they partied. And so, but Job had some concerns about his sons. They partied real hard. Had their sisters with them. And every day they went to another house partying. They really liked the party. But notice here in verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would sin and sanctify or set apart. He's sinning, giving sacrifices and offerings to God. It's his way of appealing to God, like a prayer, but he's giving offerings to God. Sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning, like you do in prayer, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them, meaning all of his 10 kids, Job said. Say it again, please.
Job said.
That's huge. What he said. Jesus said it this way in the New Testament, in Matthew. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So what he said was in his heart deeply. So much so, the next part of that verse. It may be, he said, it may be, it's possible that my sons have sinned. They haven't sinned yet, but in case they do. And curse God in their hearts, Thus, Job did regularly, and the King James says, continually. For him to do anything continually and talk about it, it was in his heart. Okay? Now, he's a good guy. No malice, nothing, no negative thing in his heart about people and about God. And then this tragedy occurs in his life. All 10 kids, if you read on further, are killed. Later on, he gets sick. Then his wife says, you know, you need to curse God and die. And he said, no, you talk like a foolish woman. I'm not going to do that. Honoring God the best way he knows how. But notice he gave sacrifices to God continually just in case his sons sin. Now, that may sound okay to you, but think about what he's doing. And sometimes people like us do it too. See, we call ourselves in faith, but we're actually in fear. I'll say it again. See, we're calling ourselves, we believe we're in faith, but we're actually in fear. In fact, let's might as well go ahead and go there. Go to Job chapter 3, verse 25. It says, for the thing, now Job is speaking here, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What was that? My son may curse God and die. And guess what? No mention about his daughters, they were collateral damage. They died too. It matters who you're hanging out with, too, by the way. It's a footnote there. Amen. For the thing I greatly feared has... Oh, yeah, thank you. I was just at the party. But you know they were selling drugs. You know what goes on at that party. But they're my friends. Collateral damage. And you go to jail, too. You get expelled, too. But I'm a good, he's a good kid, Judge. I know, but he's with the wrong group. Want to minister to you? Say collateral damage.
Collateral damage.
But notice what he says, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and that I dreaded, oh God, has happened to me. But think about this. When you dread, that's fear. Oh, I don't want, oh, that's fear. I'm going to show you scripture in a moment, but fear is never your friend.
Amen.
And so we have to learn as believers to manage that. Fear comes upon all of us. Pastor Ben too. And I got to deal with it like you need to deal with it. I can't pet it. I can't allow it to just hang out along with, ride with me in the car.
Amen.
Keep talking with me. And I have a conversation with fear.
That's right.
I want to minister to you.
Amen.
Because fear is a spirit we're going to read in a moment.
Amen.
It's not just, you know, a feeling. Now, I know somebody say, well, you know, when I know when I was in trouble, I ran real fast. I was afraid. I ran all of them and got to safety. Okay, I understand that, but fear is not your friend, though. Fear is an evil spirit that comes to open the door of destruction in our lives. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. See, this is all background to understand Job, because why? God the same yesterday, today and forever. What he said in Job, he also reveals himself in other scriptures throughout the Bible. So you get as you read from Genesis to Revelation, you get a whole complete picture about God and about the enemy, Satan. In fact, I believe it's in the 12th chapter of Revelation. It talks about how John says, I saw Satan, the devil, cast out. He was cast out.
Yes.
He's the accuser of the brethren. Make a mental note of that. He's the accuser of the brethren. So what he did to Job, he accused him. But Pastor, you just said he was in sin, yes, but that doesn't mean he didn't do something out of ignorance.
That's right.
See, Satan is shrewd. He's been around for a long time, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets you to take the bait, say take the bait.
Take the bait.
Oh, I feel like it's... I got a disease. I think it's cancer. Take the bait. Or the doctor says it's cancer. Take the bait. We talked to a lady. My wife and I talked to a lady just yesterday in our church. She came to the first service, her and her husband. And she made a decision about to stand against an affliction in her body. If you hear the word, it'll be, you know, kind of startling. But she says, Pastor, I choose to believe God.
Right.
I'm not accepting it. I'm believing God.
Amen.
Well, that's kind of, I didn't tell her to do that, but she's been taught the word of God, and she realized God gives me a choice, and I choose what he offers me.
Amen.
After first service, another lady came to me. She said, Pastor, she told me before, but she, I think for the eye disease called glaucoma, okay, had it for several years. She got healed. She says, Pastor, it's all gone. No glaucoma in my body at all, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
They're talking blindness and this and that for years. But she stood on the word of God. I'm talking about what we believe is everything.
That's right.
Or you take the bait. And when you take the bait and believe the bait, now it's yours. I want to minister to you. How do you do that when there's a serious condition or situation? You don't wait to the last minute. You get a foundation in the word of God. What Jesus says, he that builds his house on the rock, hearing the sayings of mine, is like one who builds his house on the rock. When the storms come, they're going to come. When the winds blow, you'll be able to stand when it goes on. But if you don't heed, listen, and follow the instruction of, and even believe the sayings of mine, of Jesus, the word of God, then you're building it. You're going to build something, but you're building your house on the sand. It's on popular sayings. It's what I think the Bible is, what it says, as opposed to what God says it says. Then I build my house on the sand. The same winds blow, same storm come. On the college campus, they come. On your job, they come. No matter where you are, they come.
Amen.
It's how we're able to stand. Say stand.
Stand.
Now, the song was nice and good, jazzy, you know. We win. It's more than a song. You got to know how to do that. Okay.
Come on.
We have to learn how to do that.
Amen.
So for God, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Question, if God did not give it to you, who gave it to you?
Right.
Let's be honest about it. If God did not give us the spirit of fear, where did it come from?
The enemy,
the devil. In fact, the word Satan means adversary.
Yes.
Adversary. He's out to get you. We'll get into it later, but scripture talks about how he seeks whom he may devour, like a roaring lion.
Yeah.
The roar intimidates. Oh, then now the gazelle. Oh, he won't move. I got him now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes he just roared. A pain. Initial diagnosis. It's a roar. Now you can decide you're going to accept it or not and believe it or not. The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? We're talking before service today. 2-time cancer survivor right here.
Amen.
You choose what you're going to believe.
Right.
It's throughout our congregation. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I understand. It doesn't make you a bad people. We're talking about how bad things happen to good people. Job had a tragedy in his life. Doing really well in his life, probably the chief guy in the town, doing well, prosperous, good guy, noted. And then a tragedy occurs. How did that happen? I'm glad you asked the question. We got some insight when he said he continually gave sacrifices mm-hmm. on behalf of his children. Then it says in Job 3:25, the thing that I greatly feared came upon me. See, one of the biggest revelations for many of you today is to really put fear where it belongs, in the pit.
That's right.
It don't belong in your life.
That's right.
Don't pet it. Don't play with it.
Amen.
Fear is a spirit. Say it's a spirit.
It's a spirit.
You can't say, okay, fear, I'll let you start just be in the living room right now, okay? You live in your house, he's going, it's a spirit. He goes all throughout the house. If you let fear in any area of your life, you've opened the door for fear in other areas of your life. I'll say it again. You open your life up to and tolerate fear in any area of your life, that he has access to other areas of your life. Sometimes you wonder why it's difficult for us to progress in our purposes and our careers and where God's called us. Too often we're undermined by fear. It's not as overt. It's like with Job. You're praying, but your prayers are more fear than faith.
My God.
What a minister. I'm not trying to put anybody down. You be the judge of yourself. You be the judge. Because fear is not for us. In fact, Jesus talks a lot about faith. One time he's out there, he told the guys, the fellows I call them, the disciples, let's go over to the other side. Mm-hmm. Jump in the boat, they all get in there, Jesus takes a nap, okay? He's knocking out some Z's, all right? And then a storm comes. Now when you read and understand Bible history, storms occurred often in that area on the lake. There are many ships that already have sunk. People lost their lives because of it. These were fishermen. They understood it. But Jesus is asleep, and a storm arises, a big storm. They thought in their mind, oh, another storm. Thoughts of people dying years ago and all that. They forgot who was in the boat with them, though. They forgot. See, fear will get you to forget who's with you. And more importantly for us who are Christians, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Sometimes we can forget who's inside of us. But we got to remind ourselves and tell the devil, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. What I just did and said, if you're not careful, some of you may pick up, could be watching online as well, those watching on the internet, live stream. You'd say, well, you just kind of pep talk yourself, Pastor. No, all I'm doing is agreeing with God.
Amen.
And not recalculating in my case, but affirming my belief in God.
Yes.
That's all God requires. Mm-hmm. Will you trust him? Will you believe in spite of?
Right.
And so after the storm, Jesus spoke to the wind, peace be still. Maybe you don't know the story, know the song. And calms down. And he says, where's your faith at? He's on the case. Why? I'm not dying today, fellas. I'm in the boat with you. But fear gripped them by what they saw. The bill, all due and payable now, you don't have it. If you're not careful, we'll look at that more so than look at the God provides. That does miracles, that gives us favor, that gives us instruction what to do in difficult situations.
Yes.
Only we can give the devil a place in our lives. And this was the circumstance with Job. A good guy, but he gave place to the enemy. He took the bait. Say, took the bait. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. I could have took the bait many years ago in college about what a professor may have said about me or interacted with me in a negative way, make me feel unworthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not college material. I refuse to take the bait. What helped me was I was taught, like I'm teaching you, about who I am in Christ and to believe what God promised me, not what I'm experiencing. Once I give in, I took the bait. That's it. Verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning, don't be mad at folk and you sleep on it and get up in the morning still mad. That's then a sin. Why? It goes deep in your heart. People will say things like, oh, I'm not ready to forgive. I need more time. They don't know. That's ignorance. They've learned the wrong thing in their family and human environment of how to respond. Because you keep it overnight, it is sin and it's going to hurt you.
Amen.
And then it goes, this is why a few weeks ago we had communion, right? And we looked at scriptures and it says, Paul's writing and he says, for this cause, not examining yourself, which means the body and your own heart, I don't examine you, you examine yourself. For this cause, many are sick, many are weak, and many die early. Yep. I'm not the judge. God's the judge. But it's time for us to evaluate ourselves.
Amen.
And that's what Paul says. When you take communion, examine your own heart. Amen. Sometimes the stuff, how somebody treated you, you're holding on to. And guess what? That gives the devil place. My coach, I mean, if he would have just put me in the championship, I would have got my scholarship. We won the game, but he kept me out too long. And I didn't get the kind of headlines, and I didn't get recruited. And now he's dead. You're 48. And you're thinking about what he should have did? Who's your source? What are you going to believe and put your future in a person, in a man? I want to minister to you, y'all. That's how the devil gets in. It's stuff like that. It's little stuff, but it becomes big and it gives him place. Again, the devil, he's out to seek to see who we can destroy. He gets a little foot in, he opens up the whole door and walks on in.
Yeah.
And brings his gang with him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then it says in verse 27, nor give place to the what? Devil. Say, give no place to the devil.
Give no place to the devil.
Say it again.
Give no place to the devil.
Say, I will.
Not give place
to the devil.
To the devil.
So think about it. If God is admonishing us not to give place to the devil, he's telling us we're the ones that give him place.
That's right.
Even though we do it unknowingly. This is huge. See, a good person loves God, doing all the right Christian things, but if they start doing what, things, for example, what Job did, what he thought was in faith was in fear. Mm-hmm. If you read the account more closely, we'll get into more detail. We're going to take time to talk about this. If I'm on in 2 months, I'm going to take time on it, y'all. Satan came to God and asked permission. He asked permission to attack Job.
Yes, he did.
That's different than God doing it himself. Yes. The Bible says, and Satan went. He did it. Yeah. Well, why did God give Satan permission? Because Job took the bait and opened the door and gave the devil place. Yeah. With what? Fear. He did continually. Don't play with fear, my friend. About your promotion. You know, you can sense fear on people when they're afraid. Job interviews. In fact, there's a minister, he was the head usher for the church he was part of for many, many years. And they had a place called the Hold Down Room where people had to cast out demons. And there was a lady, he tells a story about this lady. That he had taken her out of service because she was kind of acting crazy, and so they ministered to her, and she started elevating off the ground. And about half the ushers got their eyes, and he said, "You need to get out of here. Get out of here because you're not ready for this." The same thing that Jesus did to Jairus at his house to heal to raise his daughter from the dead, he said, "She's sleeping." They look at him. What do you get this old preacher from? They laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. And what did Jesus do? He got them all out of the house. So you can't have doubt. Doubt is fear. You're going to get this today. And if you want God to move, get him out of your house. Get him out of the hospital room, a mama's hospital room. There may be relatives, but they're not believing God. Get them out. Get them out. You want mama to live? She's got all the tubes and can't talk. Can't, not even just kind of a coma. She's hearing stuff, though. Her spirit's alive. Get them out. Say, get them out. Jesus got them all out of the house. Then he went back in the back room and rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. He knew the environment he needed to have.
That's right. Amen.
You got to manage that in your life.
Amen.
And your own mentality.
Amen.
The thoughts that come into your mind.
That's right.
It work, it won't work. It'll work, it won't work. You got to decide what you want. In fact, that account I shared with you earlier about Jesus, they woke him up. They said, "Master Jesus, Master, we perish. Save us. We perish. Save us. We perish." He's thinking, make up your mind, fellas. Now, it may be funny, but that's what fear does to us, like a yo-yo. So your emotions are all messed up because we don't realize we're in fear and not in faith. See, the thing he greatly feared, he wanted his kids to be safe, but he's focusing on what he don't want, not on what he wants.
Right.
There's a difference. So I'm going to say it again. He's spending time talking and thinking about what he doesn't want to happen, as opposed to talking and thinking about what he does want to happen. Yes. It's a difference.
It's a difference.
It's subtle, but it's a difference. Amen. You got to know what you want and stick with that.
Right.
What you don't want can be all around you. You're not paying attention to that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? God, you're with me.
Amen.
I see the danger all around me. I'm not looking at it, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes we got to help our friends, our family, our spouses. Baby, we're going to stick focused on what God said.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Help your friends, your loved ones out. What did we pray 2 weeks ago? Okay, stick with the script. Stick
right.
with the script.
Yeah.
Script what? Scripture. So Job, good guy, still a good guy. A little fast forward. We'll get into it and give you actual scriptures. It's important you see the scriptures. I don't have time to go through it all today. I'm going to give you a little highlight. Job began to say things like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, if you read the context, this two or three times the Bible says, and Satan went. And Satan went. He went in and killed his children. Then he came in and put boils all over Job. His wife said, you know what, baby, you're looking all bad. You've been around. You know what, probably your time is up. Why don't you go ahead and curse God and die? You know, he told her, I'm not. You talk like a foolish woman, okay? I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
So his feeling was, I'm going to love you, God, anyway, even though I believe you're slaying me. I'm going to love you. I'm honoring you. And he's doing fine. Until his three friends came to visit him, try to comfort him. You know what kind of friends that don't know what they're talking about? Now, and they saw how depressed he was. Now they realize, oh, he's in a bad place. They start saying, maybe you must have sinned sometimes. I know you got a good reputation, but you must have did something wrong. Bad stuff don't happen to good people like you. No, you must have did something bad. That's how they're thinking. All this dialogue throughout the earlier chapters of Job. Then Job got depressed, and he got bitter. Say bitter.
Bitter.
He got bitter. And he cursed the very day he was born. It's in the Bible. A lot of preachers don't preach about that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the whole book.
Okay.
God wants you to walk in victory. And so Job began, he gave in. And you know what? The best of us would give in. If we didn't know no better, we can learn from his experience. Please get this. We're not trying to put Job down. He's the first trial run, if he would. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So we're learning from him. But God is gracious with him, too. We sung about it. God was gracious. But he had to get Job to start talking differently. Start believing differently. And in fact, I believe it's about 50 times he references cursing his very day he was born. Think about it. When you curse the very day you were born, that means, God, you made a mistake.
Right.
You messed up. And yet you have a purpose, and you're telling God, you messed up? That's how bitter he was.
Yes.
So that's like in the deep part. Are you following me? Tragedy, then bitterness. But bless God, God intervened. He corrected his friends later on. Then he starts talking to Job. And Job, and I'm going to share with you, it's powerful. The Bible says Job recognized that his own mouth was getting him in trouble. It's in Scripture. He said, who am I to talk things I don't know what I'm talking about? And he didn't. Blaming God for the devil's work. And then, I'll wait. But I'll just share this piece, last part of Job. After that tragedy and bitterness time, and he made a correction in his heart and how he starts seeing God properly. The Bible says God turned the captivity, he was in bondage, the captivity of Job, got 10 more kids, and his daughters were the finest sisters in town, okay? No, in the land, okay? And blessed him with much more sheep, much more cattle, and he lived about 140 some years after that. Talk to him. Come on, come on, come on, come on. That's the God who wants us to end up. We can go through the smoke, go through the fire, but don't smell like smoke if we keep our belief properly. See, you're in the wave and the storming, but who's in the boat with you? Jesus, he's inside of you. Maybe a big corporate meeting, the big boys, big girls at the office. Have this authority to fire and hire and all that. You're a little intimidated. Remember who's inside of you.
Amen.
Got to take a break, go to the restroom, go to your car and pray about 5 minutes. Come back.
That's right.
I'm ready to go now. In fact, I normally I've done over the years, I'll send a CD or in back of CD days, or a link to someone about just encouraging one of what I call Zoe alumni. People used to go to our church. This lady, she's head of a major Fortune 100 company. So I just happened to send her one of my recent teachings. I was impressed to do that. She called me and said, "Pastor, this is right on time. I've been talking doubt. I was in the dumps about some stuff, and I got that teaching. It reminded me of who I was, and I walked back in that office, and God handled his business, and I'm doing well," and she's doing really well today.
Amen.
I shared that. She needed a reminder. Say reminder. The pressure can get us down, get the best people down. Come on, y'all. But Job went from tragedy to bitterness to being more blessed than he ever was before in his life.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do in your life.
Right.
You may have experienced tragedy. Maybe some of you may be in a place of bitterness even as I speak. It's going to require not just let time go by. That don't solve it.
No.
It's your belief system got to adjust.
That's right.
Refocus on God. Let him know who he is in your life. We've seen the songs, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. But do you believe it? You like the groove? Waymaker, Miracle. Yeah, I got it, I get it. Yeah, we got it. But it doesn't matter how the groove is, what do you believe? Because that's going to show up at the office tomorrow. What you believe? Going to show up at the school. What you believe? At the test.
Amen.
Your entrance examination to medical school, law school, going to show up at the test.
Amen.
Is he a way maker now?
Amen.
When you got a little freeze and don't know what the answer, I got a blank. Way maker, miracle worker, Lord. Oh, I came back now.
Amen.
If you think it's pep talk, I'm sorry. You got to talk and believe what God says.
Amen.
Remind yourself. Paul said, I think myself happy.
Yes.
Because how you believe is how you think.
That's right.
This ministering to you?
Amen.
About to wrap up here. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, talking about how we get placed. I'm going to read the first part of that verse. You read the entire part on your own, but verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Say it with me, please. Read it out loud. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Read it again, please.
"My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge."
Whose people is God talking about?
God's people.
His people. Wait a minute. This is God, creator of heaven and earth, who says, "Nothing's too hard for me." That God? Yes. "My people are destroyed for a lack of" what? Knowledge. God can help us, deliver us. But if we don't understand some things, we lack knowledge, we're operating in the dark.
Yes.
With being a good person.
Yes.
You know, you're polite, you're nice, and all that. You're doing all good Christian things, but you got to be in the light, y'all.
Amen.
He said, "My people." Well, who's doing the destroying? The destroyer. Jesus said, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy." But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly."
Amen.
Notice he said that they might have. Why? It depends upon you believing, doing your part.
That's right.
"To as many as believe, receive, to them gave them the right to become a child of God, even to them that believed on his name." Believing is huge. So we should examine what we believe in about various things, especially about the things of God. About yourself. Are you good enough? Are you smart enough? Do you have what it takes? Can you get access to what you need, get the help that you need? Our belief drives everything about us.
Yeah, that's right.
This is why the Word of God is so important to help us strengthen our belief in what God can do. The fact that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge means that if I don't have knowledge, I get placed in that area of ignorance in my life. I'll say it again. My lack of knowledge opens the door for Satan to come in and take advantage of what I don't know. Job did not know, but he can tread on the wicked. That's in Scripture. And it's reflected again in, it's in Job, and it's reflected again in Luke 10:19, where Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That Jesus said that. Guess what? It was first said in Job. We're going to read it. Oh, yeah. First said in Job, before Jesus said it. God told Job, "Tread on the wicked, and I'll declare unto you, your own right hand can save you." It's in Job. You know the one we talk about, you know, God wanted people to suffer and all that? That same book? No, no, no. He declared to Job, "When you learn who you are, that the enemy is under your feet, when fear comes, you decide, what do you believe? I'm going to believe God. Fear, you got to go."
That's right.
This is why we need to reinforce it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
This is designed just to encourage us. I know it's maybe a little challenging for some of you, but I love you. I really do love you all. I want to give you God's best. I don't want to have this nice servant and, you know, service and service and so forth. And we go out here and we're whipped and we don't know why. We don't know why. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Believers are praying softly. You're here today, and you realize God has been good, and I didn't know he was that good. Or no, I'm realizing just how good he was.